There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. The air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see, it's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Justin. Welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program, the show this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambill. I am the show director. I am the broadcaster. I am the network, and here we go. Family, welcome this afternoon, 4 to 6 every day, Monday through Friday. Bible study, 8 to 9, here on the same website. If you're listening to TalkStream Live, you can also listen to me in my website, WatchmanForJesus.com, 24-hour streaming. And, of course, now it's live, the 4th of February, excuse me, the 4th of March, 2015. I got it backwards, way backwards. March the 4th, 2015. I'll get it right in a minute. You know, family, I'm going to give you the solutions before I give you the problems. Normally you give the problems in the solution. You're hungry for the solution. But before I get started today, I have loads and loads of things to tell you. Loads. Did I say loads? I sure did, y'all. Yeah, I'm a Southern boy here in North Carolina. I want to welcome you here, though. But, family, I'm going to give you some truth today. And it might be for some of you a little overwhelming. But family, I only got 2 hours a day. That's all I got. That's what? 10 hours a week? Yeah, not enough time. But I'll do the best I can to get it through. Yep, you heard me right. This conspiracy is so vast, so massive, that they've got people going in so many different directions, like a Chinese fire drill. You know, no, I'm not being racist. This is just a Southern way of saying it's confusing out there. So I guess go to ACLU if you have a problem with my humor. Sorry. You'll get over it. Family, one of the last things a Southern boy ever said was, hey, y'all watch this. Well, family, you don't want to say that coming up if your soul's not saved. This is the bottom line. You know, all of our history, all the way back to 1700s till now, all the billions upon billions of dollars have been spent to sophisticated warfare and wars that's pre-planned. All the wars are pre-planned. Do you all know that? The lie is that we fight a war because it happens and we got to go take care of it and defend our country because somebody over there is causing... No, the war... Family, it's easy to prove. The wars are pre-planned. Conspiracy? You better believe it. You can deny it, but why don't you challenge somebody? Challenge me. Challenge somebody. Do the research. Man, just don't believe it. Go after it. You chase it down. You find it out. You challenge what you hear. Don't just sit there and take it like you're high on fluoride. That's what they put in order for 1900 A.D. You know that, right? Make you docile, apathetic. To facilitate Tyler's 8 steps of democracy to dictatorship. 8 steps. One of them, the 7th step, is apathy. To put the culture, the population, to an apathetic state of mind is the 8th stage. 7th, 8th stage. And they've done it by mass medication. Technology, ELF transmission. We're going to get into all this. Family, you got to know what the enemy's doing. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. I'm going to expose what the enemy is doing. And then you'll know what to fight against and how much God is protecting you. You have no idea. People have no clue how much God has influenced and caused these Luciferians in all the governments, China, Russia, America, every doggone one of them, has got them running, chasing their tails. All technology in the world has failed, but it has successes. Lots of successes, but always the key part, the key time, they have failed. They gain success. We're almost there. We got the New World Order. Yeah. And they fail because God has caused it. He lets them get so close, he squashes their banana. They got to start all over again. Don't you know, if they were that powerful, secret societies, you'd already have it by now? Haven't you figured that out yet? Don't they give you lame excuses why you can't go through with it? Because they don't have the power, but God does through Jesus Christ. He's got the power because he's a creator. He likes them to get so close and he squashes them like a bug. They got to start all over again. They got to do something else. They can never rest. They can never sleep. They can never stop what they're doing. Success, success, then failure. Because God is in control. But we turn away from God, and you better buckle up. Israel found out about that in 70 A.D. America's about to find out about it in 2015, 16, 17, or 18. Whenever God decides that's enough's enough. Judgment's coming upon this country. Martin Luther King, a great man. Martin Luther King, JFK, warned us in the 1960s. Bill Cooper warned us. Russo, approached by Rockefeller, warned us. And the real ones that warned us, the ones that really were a danger to the New World Order, they all got something in common. They all died. They all were murdered. And don't think cancer is not a weapon, because it absolutely is. The real ones, the ones that really could have caused them harm, Larry McDonald, Barry Jennings, many of them have one thing in common. They all were murdered. Do the math on that one. They had significance to them. They had clout. They had influence of a nation, a culture, a group. They all died. Because they weren't ready to reveal the New World Order Yeah. Now do the math on that, huh? About the so-called truth tellers today. Me, I'm just a little guy. I'm a little old guy here in a little old town, Randy Griffinville. They don't worry about me. But they don't know about the prayers of a righteous person. And being righteous is your choice. It's not some claim to fame. It's a matter of choice, man. A matter of choice. Praying that God will pull you away from temptation. Cleanse your mind. For me, it's a daily battle, man. It's a daily battle for me. Every day, I got to fight it. But God will help you if you ask Him to and humble yourself before Him. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And then we're going to launch into it today. I got a mixture, multimedia presentation today. Some things my regular listeners have heard before. Some things you have not. I'm going to put it together today in a sequence. And I'm hoping the bad guys hear sometime. Because you see, they mess over their own bad guys. You know why? Because they don't show them the dots. They show them what they're responsible for. But they don't show them how to connect the dots. Because you got this silly thing called top secret. Secret. Classified. That's all nonsense. You know why? Because all the secret societies and the intelligence agencies, they work together in every country. Not telling those below. It's bogus, man. Totally bogus. Dedicate the broadcast. And then let's begin. Lord, we come before you today in prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray and dedicate this program. Lord, we pray, we thank you, Lord, for the things you've given us, the infirmities that you give us sometimes that strengthens us. We thank you, Father, for the hardships you sometimes give us that makes us stronger, humbles us for you. Father, we thank you for the families that you give us. But Father, we need your help, Lord, to spread the gospel, to sanctify, to confirm our own thoughts and confirm our own feelings and confirm our own understanding in Bible studies, and Lord, to guide us in the right path. Father, we know that your Son, Jesus Christ, went through the same. But Father, sometimes we're weak down here. We need your strength. We need your wisdom and discernment to give us to get through these trials and tests. Father, to give us humble. Give us humbleness that we can listen, learn, and be patient with those around us. Lord, I pray for patience. I pray, Lord, you forgive me of my sins and my thoughts. That, Lord, that I'll hear the Holy Spirit to guide today, guide this week. Lord, we pray the blood of Jesus around us to stop any interruptions. God, Lord, to give us help. Any technological, spiritual, physical. That's why, Father, we pray the whole armor of God around us. That, Lord, only through that armor of God and that angel that guards over us, Father, can we defeat this or deal with the supernatural realm. That's why we pray on the belt of truth that's buckled around our waist, that we centered, encircled by your truth. Father, to pray on the breastplate of righteousness, to protect our vital organs and inner man, inner person, to cover our integrity and our spirit and our soul. Guard our heart. For Lord, we know that's a wellspring of life. Father, we pray on those gospel shoes of peace. And stand in the shoes of your good news and on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, who's a solid rock. And we pray on the shield of faith. And that shield of faith in our hand, it will extinguish every dart and arrow that's launched from the enemy to take us down spiritually, physically, mentally, or emotionally. We pray on that helmet of salvation to guard our thoughts that can lead us astray and protect us from being double-minded. It will allow that we may allow our mind, the command center of the rest of our body, to be saturated with the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit. And finally, Lord, to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Almighty Word of God contained in the King James Bible. And Father, we pray this offensive weapon into our hand. And we ask, Lord, that your word, your holy word, through this Bible, be fitting for every encounter we face. And give us that insight and wisdom and skill, the words to yield the word of God spoken when we need it. And the Father, to show us those barriers to our prayers that might be holding us back. We pray for an awakening in this country. For the watchmen to come out. For the pulpits to open up with the truth. For courage in the congregations to speak out against lies in the pulpits and deception. That the Father, the truth be told about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all things we pray in the name of your Son Jesus. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, when I look at the articles, newspaper articles and reports and all that, I go through them. And I pull out those articles that apply to the checklist that, of their agenda. And their agenda is massive. But I don't care how massive it is. They've lost this war already. No one is going to defeat the creator of this world, this universe, and the heaven. People are foolish to think so. So if you don't believe in God, then why do you worship Lucifer? If you think Lucifer and Satan is the creator, then he's got to be some kind of dumb, because he has not pulled together his new world order yet. Something is holding him back. So he's not so powerful now, is he? You follow him? He's still silent. We'll still praise God of the Bible. So something is not working on your side there now, is it there, fellas? You think they're aliens? There's no such thing. You think that they're ascended masters or whatever? No, they're demonic. They lie. They deceive. And yet you follow them. The time is coming when we're going to answer for everything that we've done, every human being. I'm going to expose every bit of it that I can, possibly. And then I don't want you to believe me, but I do not want you to believe me. I want you to challenge me, darn it. Challenge me. You could do it even while I speak. And you find out yourself. Get your confidence up. Get your little fingers on the keyboard and get them moving. Write it down and look for it after the program. Man, you fill your mind up yourself and you become the authority. You can do it. Today I'm going to talk about the drugs, a mixture of the drugs, the microchips, mind control, Tavistock, family, that's what's going on today. How do you think Satan is going to do this? Do you think he's going to win over by love? Hardly. Preachers today, pastors, rabbis, popes, priests, rabbi, whatever, cardinals, I don't care what they are, disciples, apostles, whatever they call themselves, are not teaching about the truth, about the Illuminati, about the secret societies, because a lot of them are just those anyway. Behind the pulpit. When you step back and look at what's going on. For example, I'm not going to play it now, but I've played you and the prayer that was given down in Florida at a commissioner's meeting to Satan, including the names and the prayer of Thor, an adult vice commissioner or something like that, Lake Worth, Florida, something like that. He gave a prayer to Lucifer to start off the meeting. Half the council meetings left for the prayer, came back in at the Pledge of Allegiance. Split, just as a split right there. I'm not going to play it now, but he gives at the beginning of a commissioner's meeting. He talks about Thor, Krishna, Satan, Allah, all in the same prayer. To open up a meeting, a real adult-led meeting. They weren't playing Dungeons and Dragons. If Almighty Thor is with you, who could be against you? I'm like, what? Krishna, Allah, in the lower world of Satan. I'm like, what in the world? Well, they're not done. Idaho Senate opened up with a Hindu prayer. I told y'all that Florida was just the beginning. You're going to have it in Oregon. You're going to have it in Texas. You're going to have it in all kinds of places. Open up meetings, Senates with a prayer to Satan, Hindu prayers, all kinds of other New Age type praying. It's coming, man. Every state's going to get it. Well, now they got one recently in the Idaho Senate. A Hindu prayer. There are going to be more coming. Three lawmakers protested. Three. And I told y'all also, over the past 5 years, those have been with me, that they're going to nationalize the police. Now, I'm going to do a program on that. I'm hoping by Friday, Thursday, Friday. Well, that'd be tomorrow and Friday. Friday. I may do part one Friday of, don't hold me to this, because I don't have far I get with this one today. But I'm going to talk about a segment then. The past 2 weeks, I've talked about the attack on the American veterans, of genociding our veterans. How come people aren't... Oh, man, it's so frustrating. I'm a veteran, and I know for a fact that the governments, plural, are targeting the veterans to die, a genocide of our veterans by design to lessen any resistance they may have against the UN taking over, which are already here anyway, and to stop or slow down or influenced the North American Union that they murdered Nancy Schaefer for to make sure she didn't get involved. Yeah, heard me right. Made her husband kill her, and he shot himself, supposedly. And we'll talk about that today. Not exactly that, but you'll see what I'm talking about when I show you today what I got on why this is happening. Suicides, killing family members. Chris Kyle getting shot by a Marine. He's trying to help. We're going to cover that today. Not exactly that, but you'll see what I'm talking about when we get to it. Even the bad guys are not taught how to connect the dots. So you got a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, or NSA, some 33-year-old right out of some political science school. He's working for the NSA. They don't tell him how to connect the dots, and he's maybe just a secret clearance or a top secret. But they're not connecting the dots. They don't realize that they're working toward their own destruction, and death is coming their way, and they don't realize it. And that's another fact. Well, here's the point. Quote, Obama announces his plans to nationalize local and state law enforcement, unquote. Family, there it is. But it's not Obama. Obama just carrying through what Clinton set up in 1990s under the multi-jurisdictional task force under the UN, a national police force. And it's not just him either. Family, it goes back to Hitler. The Nazis, we brought over 10,000. We didn't win that war. We just brought the hierarchy here, including Hitler in 1966. He died. 1945, we brought Hitler over. He didn't die. No, sir, he didn't. 10,000 specialists from Nazi Germany. Nuremberg trial was a bogus. We brought the von Braun space program. We brought the UN. Half the CIA was created by the Nazis. Family, the secret societies worked together. You understand this? Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars work against you. And they lie that they're patriots. It's a lie from the pit of hell. They'll look at you and lie to your face. You may know them when you're all lieutenants. Now you're generals. He's a Knight of Malta. He's lying to your face while you're going to his barbecue dinner. And I know for a fact, because I had a friend for 30 years and he became a Freemason, 33rd degree, was not the same person. It's tragic, but I saw the difference. Like night and day, different soul, different character, everything, different. Because they renounced Jesus Christ. And they accept Lucifer. And that's an absolute fact, can be proved. No question about it. Well, anyway, Obama's just carrying on what was laid before him before he became president. He's just moving along just like everybody else. To nationalize local police. I've warned people about this. And you good policemen, you better watch your back. Because they've got felons already infiltrated into your police departments now. California released 50,000 from felons. Back in California about 2006, 2007. It's all taking place just as I told you. Florida Army veteran recruits U.S. soldiers to fight ISIS by joining veterans against ISIS militia. Don't do it. There is no ISIS. When you're going against ISIS, you're going against the CIA and Mossad, Iranian intelligence, Saudi intelligence, Turkish intelligence. They work together. They are ISIS. ISIS is a fictional enemy. You'll be set up for the slaughter by the CIA. Guaranteed. They did it in Vietnam. They did it in Iraq. And they're going to do it now. There is no ISIS. Today's program is based on Tavistock. And Tavistock is not well known in American discussions, knowledge. Now, you conspiracy researchers, you might have heard Tavistock. Tavistock is underneath the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which is the Illuminati in the UK. Sister to it is that murderous bunch of people in the Council of Foreign Relations in America. Rockefeller's created, and Milner, Mandel House created Council of Foreign Relations. That is the Illuminati. That is who they are here in America. Council of Foreign Relations. The counterpart is the Royal Institute for National Affairs in London. And under RIA, I just mentioned, is Tavistock. How significant is Tavistock? Well, do you remember, some of you that the elder folks like myself, you remember how it was in the 50s, or 60s, 50s primarily? And then you that are my family, my parents, so to speak, the quiet generation, you remember how it was in the 30s and 40s? Or my those that talked to your grandparents, how it was? Sang along with Mitch and the big bands and family members and all this kind of thing? Well, what happened in the 1950s? In 1960s, everything changed. Clothing, drugs came in, brought in by the CIA, Vietnam, anti-war. What happened all of a sudden? World War I, World War II, ticker tape parades. Victory, whatever. Then in Vietnam and Korea, it's like baby killers. What happened? Something happened in America. Tavistock did it. It was all set up. Rock and roll music. Everything changed in one decade. Actually, in less than a year. It's groovy, man. Even the words changed. It's all thought up by Tavistock. But again, in the 1920s, Tavistock made sure the women were not able to vote, smoke in public. Tavistock made sure the blacks were subjugated. You got to create a slave, bondage, and then give them freedom to divide everybody. The CIA funded the feminist movement. NAACP, created by the Vatican, created by the Jesuits, created subversive groups, KKK, white boys, Black Panthers, black boys, and make sure they fight each other. Handled by the FBI, so they both fight each other. Oh, yeah. Freemasons behind it. Order out of chaos. Family's all been constructed. That's my point. All it resulted in dead and confusion to bring order. This is all pre-designed. And you can trace it too. Tavistock set all this up. Woodstock. To destroy the thinking, the mind, the sovereignty, the family unit in the 1960s in one big whitewash. So you would lead your children to accept the New World Order in a series of stages. That's what it was for. To destroy the culture was done by Tavistock. That's how powerful they are for now. So it's a mass brainwashing institute. See, Tavistock has been known as a precursor to the infamous CIA MK Ultra mind control program. Now, some say that Nazi doctor Mengele was secretly trained at Tavistock Institute before World War II began. Special Intelligence Services, SIS, or of MI6, they dealt with all the top mind control. Tavistock was under SIS. You see? It's all set up. Everything. Now, this broadcast is recorded. So I'm not going to go slow. You can go back and play it again if you really want to. Or you might just leave because you can't deal with the pressure that I'm going to put on you today. But I'm going to load you down. And tomorrow too, if I don't get to it all. I can do this. Did you know? Were you aware? Now some of you are my regular listeners. You're going to hear some of the same things. Well, bear with me. But did you all know that under there, and I have like 6 or 7 organizational charts of the Illuminati. I have scrutinized this thing like a G2 intelligence briefing. Well, did you know that the CIA, the FBI, NSA, the KGB, Mossad, those rascals, the BND of Germany intelligence, the DGSE of France intelligence, Turkish intelligence, Iranian intelligence, Saudi intelligence, Pakistani intelligence, ISI, British intelligence, MI5, MI6, and SIS, the Communist Party hierarchy, Interpol, Europol, heck, I'm expecting MAPOL to come around, but Interpol and Europol, drug cartel heads, Mafia, organized crime, FEMA, the shadow government of the United States, led in by Jimmy Carter, Peanut Farmer, and Giuffrida, Oliver North, Knights of Malta, Reagan, that liar. They all worked together, and ones instead did work together. All those intelligence agencies, family, they worked together. Five of them helped move the Mujahideen from Afghanistan to Bosnia, working together. You get the picture now? Vietnam, we worked with the Nazis, with the communists. Anthony Sutton confirms. Y'all getting the idea? I got the evidence. I got the names, dates, times, places, things, everything. I'm trying to give you all a picture of what you're dealing with and how Satan has this organized. Yeah, you heard me. I get right to the point. I've got in front of me the educations that's confirmed, the groups, this is massive, intelligence groups, religious groups, the political groups, banking, money groups, secret society groups, all work under the Jesuit order and the Illuminati. Satanic bloodlines, Benai Birth, Grand Orient. The royal families today, and the real ones are Italian, Roman. Family, this thing goes and goes and goes. And let me tell you something. All this they've done is for naught, because they will fail. But not before the Great Tribulation takes place, because it's all coming to... Now, you may not believe in Satan. Let's say you don't. Well, family, I'm going to tell you here and now, they do. And they run it for now. Whether you believe in Satan or supernatural, man, it don't make a lick of difference. Because the ones that control it, they believe in him. The ones that operate Tavistock are steep into the occult. Aleister Crowley. It's all connected. Tavistock. The agenda of Tavistock is to use to topple governments. You topple governments that don't take loans. The loans subjugates the government. When the country has a benevolent leader that's not taking the loans from the international bankers, then we vilify, we manufacture a war, manufacture a revolution, call him a dictator, and say we're going in to liberate the people. When in fact, it's a lie. It's always been this way. Use us Marines as debt collectors. You don't believe me? General Smedley D. Butler, Marine Corps, two Medal of Honors, actually three, he turned one down, wrote in 1932 his role in being a hitman for capitalism. He was very disgruntled when he got out of the Marine Corps. He realized what was going on. War is a racket. Look it up right now. Challenge what I'm telling you. War is a racket. War is a racket by General Butler. And then search out what they had him to do, but he blew the whistle on him. He took it back to him. And the plot to seize the White House, you'll find it. FDR was behind this. You're not going to find this in history books. Mass medication of a population began in the year 1900, 21 years before Tavistock was ever formed. Family, they had this thing going on before Tavistock even. Tavistock just solidified it. See, Tavistock's objective is to eventually control entire populations between the use of drugs and sophisticated mind control techniques, which includes group dynamics. Sigmund Freud. You got it? Pun intended. Sigmund Freud was Tavistock's first director. Include Edward Bernays, who was a nephew of Sigmund Freud. Edward Bernays coined the words fight for freedom. to collect debt. They didn't add that. I'm ticked off because I'm a former U.S. Marine. I trained Marines. I recruited Marines. I commanded companies, Marines. And I trained them to fight and to kill. That's what we Marines do. There's no other purpose for us Marines. No other purpose exists. Maybe support of us to fight and kill. Marines are designed for this. We're designed for that. I trained them for that. And I trained them hard, too. So they'd come back alive. I didn't know that the wars were preset. I didn't know that the outcome of every single war was already predetermined by using the rules of engagement from the State Department to limit activities, limit movement. I didn't know that using Hegelian dialectic, they would manipulate the outcome of the war. Didn't matter if you win battles, it didn't make any difference. It happened in 1776, 1812, 1865, 1917 to 1918, 1945. It's worked every single war. Korea and Vietnam, doggone it. Every single cotton picking war had been predetermined and used for their benefit. The Rockefellers made $200 million out of World War I. That's where they get their money from a death of civilians and military fighting their battles that they set up. That's exactly what's going on today. And this includes Russia and Germany and every other country. We've all been used as guinea pigs in every country, fighting each other, been used as guinea pigs. And they worship Lucifer. I don't care if you believe in him or not, they do. As a matter of fact, Hermann Göring said, and I quote, "Why, of course the people don't want war. Why should some poor slob on a farm want to risk his life in a war when the best he can get out of it is to come back to his farm in one piece? Naturally, the common people don't want war, neither in Russia, nor in England, nor, for that matter, in Germany. That's understood. But after all, it's the leaders of the country who determine the policy. It is always a simple matter to drag the people along. Whether it's a democracy or a fascist dictatorship or parliament or communist dictatorship, voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That's easy. All you have to do is tell them that they're being attacked, denounce the peacemakers for lack of patriotism, and expose the country to danger. It works the same in any country," unquote. Hitler, Stalin, Queen Elizabeth II, Churchill, family, they were all second cousins. That's correct. FDR, Churchill, the Japanese elite, they planned Pearl Harbor in the mid-1920s. Tested it in 1932. In a military exercise. I found it in macrophage. They knew a good 10 years before 1941 that the Japanese were going to attack. Heck, they ought to know because they planned the thing as a dialectic. World War II was already planned before 1871. Albert Pike, Freemason, Confederate general in the Civil War. He planned World War I and World War II and World War III yet to come. A letter to Manzini, 1871, confirms it. See, y'all getting the picture here? So by 1921, after the First World War, it's time now to transfer World War I, continue it on, is World War II. That's all it was. Just a continuation of World War I. That's all it was. They didn't achieve the New World Order with the League of Nations, so they went to the next step, World War II, United Nations. That's what World War II is all about. And to establish Israel, fake Israel today, fake Israel today. That's right, Ashkenazi, that's another story. The Crest of Solomon, the fake Star of David, which is an occult sign, hexagram. Like our stars, stripes, the stars are pentagrams. Family, y'all better wake up. What's really going on behind the scenes? Tavistock is the center of all this. As a think tank, a workhorse for them. Sigmund Freud was Tavistock's first director. How about that? And his daughter, Anna Freud. Anna Freud. Tavistock programs were used to program post-war leaders of Germany's government, churches, schools, corporations. Those from among the POWs were easy to manipulate. You know, research in the use of microwave weapons decades and decades later, and their use for mind control began in the 1950s. Now, we're going there. I want to give you evidence here shortly. And at the Tavistock Institute, one of Britain's leading psychiatric research establishments, at the UK Institute, it was researching into ways of mind control the British population without them ever knowing. It's not just America. It's every other country. All you countries are being lied to by your leaders. Every single one of you. Now, Dr. John Coleman, he's got really good information. But then they have to tell you the truth. So just because they're telling you the truth, don't mean they're on your side. I call it eating the chicken, spitting out the bones. They still have to tell you the truth. And they do it in such a way that people won't believe it. So you got to kind of pick it out. Well, John Coleman, he's a former intelligence officer with Britain's MI6. He's author of Conspirators, Hierarchy, the Committee of the 300. Committee 300 is a bloodline Illuminati. Roman, not Jews. For goodness sakes. Christian identity, get with the program, or just disband your cult group. If you're in Christian identity, man, get out of there. If you're a Freemason, renounce the blood oath and get out of there, I'm telling you. Protocols. The Learned Elders of Zion. Chapter 15. Roman numeral X-ray Victor. They are going to kill every Freemason once they have total control. I promise you, that's going to happen. They'll only do it when they have total control. And they tell you, and look it up. Challenge me, man. Challenge it. Go for it. Protocols of Learned Elders of Zion. And it's a real document. Chapter 15, it tells you what they're going to do to all secret society members. When they're done with you, they kill you and your families. It's going to happen once they have total control. Well, I told you today I'm not going to miss words. I don't have much time. Coleman, he was one of the first writers to bring the world's attention to the existence of this Tavistock and the role it plays in shaping a political, social, educational, economics, and the opinions, especially in the United States. Man, we have been lab rats since the 1700s. Tavistock was founded in London about 1920. Some say it's 1947, 40-some thereabouts, but really it's 1920. The Tavistock Clinic opened up in 1920. Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Mandel House, Sigmund Freud, all these Luciferians and Satanists. Absolutely. And it always had secret ties to British Freemasonry, the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. That's the connection. The aims, the objectives is social control, information control, control of hidden information environment. And you know that means that it's control mechanisms in academia, multimedia, intelligence, medicine, pharmacy, pharmakia, Greek for sorcery. Especially pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals are sorceries. No, I'm not being sensational and over-exertive, whatever. If you look up pharmacy, Find the root word for pharmacy in Greek. It's called pharmakia. Pharmakia means in Greek, sorcery. I'm not making that up. That's what it means. So you go to the pharmacy, you're going to the sorcerer in Greek. How do you like that for your language lesson today? And I'm not Pilsner. How about that, huh? Isn't that something? You know, no group ever did more to propagandize us in the United States to participate in World War I and World War II at a time when a majority of American people were opposed to it. They knew this already. They knew that we would be opposed to any war in Europe. And FDR lied through his collective teeth. I'll not send your boys over there. Now, I've read you a quote. I'm not going to read it today. I've read it several times. You'll find it on my website, watchmanforjesus.com. And I have a timeline there, March of 4th, 1939. You go there, if you like, and read that quote that he's got. It's chilling. Behind closed doors, it was given to William G. Carr, Red Fog of America. He wrote it from Senator Lundeen, who attended it. You know, Roosevelt said himself, in spite of the risk involved, however, in letting the Japanese fire the first shot, we realized in order to have the full support of the American people, it was desirable to make sure the Japanese be the ones to do this, so that there should remain no doubt in anyone's mind as to who were the aggressors, unquote. Do you know in Korea that the State Department ordered our own 7th Fleet to block a 500,000 free Chinese soldiers in Chiang Kai-shek from crossing over from Taiwan to take Red China back for the free Chinese? We used our own 7th Fleet against our own soldiers and Marines in Korea to blockade Chiang Kai-shek to make sure the communists stayed in power in Korea. I got it from Joe MacArthur. Quote, the possibility of Red China entry in the Korean War had existed ever since the order from Washington issued to the 7th Fleet in June to neutralize, that means blockade, Formosa, that was Taiwan, which in effect protected Red China from attack by Chiang Kai-shek forces of 500,000 men, unquote. Family, I got all the evidence. This is all a setup in every single war. When are people going to realize, when you generals going to get your head out of your butts, and no pun intended, but out of the stars, and realize what you're up against, and do something about it? Remove Paul Rykoff from trying to help our veterans, because he's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. He's there, like the rest, to slow down progress. That's what they do. They form their organizations so they can slow down progress and pretend to be patriots. Or they're deceived. Either way, got to be removed. But that's not going to happen. But at least I said it anyway. It's frustrating. This is why Freemasons, like John Wayne, Audie Murphy, all the others did war movies back in those days. I hate to say that. Lord, you have no idea how much I hate to say that. But it's true. Clint Eastwood, John Wayne, all these guys are Freemasons. It's to promote national patriotism so we go fight those wars. In Vietnam, Korea, World War II. That's what all that was about. Now, in Tavistock, they have promoted all this. That's all the what Tavistock set up, Hollywood, everything. The British oligarchs used Tavistock to shape and control public opinion, to manipulate British public and later us Americans into accepting the notion that war with Germany was necessary to secure a lasting peace. So the plan to create public opinion began in 1913. Federal Reserve Act also. Buddy, that wasn't an accident. Propaganda factory centered in Wellington House in London. Funding was provided by the royal family, Windsors, but soon included the Rothschilds, related to Lord Northcliffe by marriage. That's how they do it. They intermarried. You think Hatfields McCoy is intermarried? Ha! They got nothing over on these secret societies. Illuminati. Wellington House would grow into the Tavistock Institute in 1921. After the propaganda victories of the First World War and the Federal Reserve banking system in 1913 had been secured. That's why they killed McKinley in 1901. He's going after the federal, going after the economic programs they were coming up with. He's working with the Astors. Well, they took care of the Astors on the Titanic after they killed McKinley. So by 1913, they had clear shot. December 25th, 1913, they passed it. I left out a lot, but I gave you the basics of it. Tavistock, mind control. You know, three elements combined to make the Institute unusual. It's very unique. It has the independence of being entirely self-financing and no subsidies from the government to trace or other sources. And these action research orientation places, it's between but not in, in the worlds of academia. They control colleges throughout the United States and Britain. Rhodes Scholarship, Oxford, hello. And the range of disciplines they use to affect this control, mind control, anthropology, economics, organizational behavior, political science, psychoanalysis, psychology, and sociology. Stanford is a good example called the Changing Images of Man. It's what your Bilderbergers and the Club of Rome people talk about, how to control us. Iron Mountain Report, all that nonsense, man, but it works. And the central bankers based in the city of London, they control the cartels that dominate the world. The plausible deniability. CIA controls the drugs. They use the mafia and drug cartels as a plausible deniability. They'll arrest a bunch here and there to make it look good. If some of them get too rich or too, you know, out of hand, they just kill them. It's not a problem. Some of the mafia don't even know this. And they are expendable. And they will be taken out by the Illuminati when they have control. A lot of the street gangs don't know this either. You know, I could continue on with talking about their one-world dictatorship of control, but how they get people to do what they want them to do. That's the main point here. I've established that they have, they're the controllers, that was loud, wasn't it, of the world, the think tanks, that sets things up, assassinations, all that, manipulation of the mind. We get down to CIA's MKUltra, RAND Corporation, handlers and handlerees, the FBI's COINTELPRO operation, the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations, where the founding fathers of mind control still reside today, are moving right along at breakneck speed. Now, part of their agenda, and fluoride, see, fluoride causes folks to be docile. Now, I talked about this yesterday. That's why Hitler used it in concentration camps. Did y'all know that? 1900 AD, fluoride for the teeth? No. I got evidence confirmed that fluoride was used to make a population apathetic and docile. That's a result of fluoride, fluorine, in the water under the guise of white teeth. Sounds crazy, don't it? But I challenge you to look it up. Oh, please do. And find out what it's really for. Then they combined it in 1920s and 1930s with aluminum pots and pans. And they knew about aluminum, add fluorine to it, water, you get chronic fluorosis. And that's exactly what happened. And they put it in the Pablum baby food, 1950s. They went after the baby boomers like you could not believe. CDC CDC confirms between 30 and 90 million Americans born in between 1952 and 1954 received cancer viruses put in the polio vaccines. The Agent Orange was designed, created to kill Vietnam vets with cancer. That ticks me off more than any. I got in the Marines in 75. Just, matter of fact, I joined the Marines in 72 in college to be a commander. I wanted to go over as a lieutenant and kill VC. It's what I wanted to do. That's stupid or what? But 72, I said, well, there's a war. My duty is to go over there and fight. So if I'm in college, okay, I'll finish my college, get a commission in the Marine Corps, and go over there and start killing people. I'm blunt about it. Because I felt it was my duty to kill a commie. I'm not innocent, family. This is my mind then. Well, it ended in 2 months before I graduated from college, 75. I got out in 87, so I was between the wars. Family, it's that mindset that put us into. Well, family, Tavistock was what was behind it. To get us to fight their wars, to set up debt, the whole time. Now, I'm not going into all that right now. And I believe tomorrow, I'm going to hold off here. I believe tomorrow I'll talk about the actual insider plans of the UN to come to fruition, which will match what I'm talking about today. But they're big plans. Now, here we're going into the mind control. I'm going to stay focused on the mind control. Fluoride plays right into it. The symptoms I've talked about, but part of it was docile. It aids in the promotion of apathy for an entire population. And boy, it worked perfectly. It worked perfectly. Now, remember yesterday, I'm going to give you a little bit of a refresher before I launch into the evidence of testimony. I told you I was. Now, if you recall, the use of cocaine in the Coca-Cola. In the 1860s, 70s, they put cocaine in the Coca-Cola for about a century. And then they took it out. They took the cocaine out. And then Coke says, well, we did it, but it's a small amount. It's a small amount. So you drink 3, 4, or 5 Cokes, which is what happened. What's going to happen? Well, what's the jingle for it back in the 1800s, 1900s, early? It relieves fatigue. Yeah, no kidding. You get cocaine in your system, have all kinds of fatigue relieved, wouldn't you? Yeah, buddy. Cocaine, man. Dopamine. You see, 10 teaspoons of sugar when you in the first 10 minutes of drinking a Coke. They took out the cocaine, got you addicted to it. They replaced it with sugar. Remember? All right? So when you drink a Coke, this is part of their mind control. 10 teaspoons of sugar hits your system at once. 100% of recommended daily intake in one Coke. You don't immediately vomit from the overwhelming sweetness because phosphoric acid cuts the flavor, allowing you to keep it down. They got this thing worked out. 20 minutes drinking the Coke, your blood sugar spikes, causing insulin burst. Your liver responds to this by turning any sugar and get his hands on into fat. That's why you have heavy set kids in the South and other place because they're drinking Cokes for breakfast, Cokes for lunch, Cokes for dinner. Man, I see families at the food line coming through like they're having a gate party, gateway, whatever, tailgate party. But they're not. They're taking Dr. Peppers by the tons to their home. And Mountain Dew's got more caffeine than five cups of coffee, man. You drink Mountain Dew. That's what they call Mountain Dew. Hey, yeah, buddy, because you're flying high, and it's legal. Okay. This is by design, family. Now, again, don't believe me. You check it out yourself, and you find out what you get. So there you got it. All right? So 40 minutes into this drinking the Coca-Cola, here's what I want you to hear. Well, I want you to hear everything, but... caffeine absorption, caffeine in your body is complete. The pupils dilate. Blood pressure spikes. The liver dumps more sugar in your bloodstream. The endocrine receptors in your brain are now blocked, preventing drowsiness. It relieves fatigue. Cocaine does the same darn thing, except it's a shot in the arm. Oh, no pun intended. Now, 45 minutes or so, your body's ups increases. Now, listen carefully. Your dopamine production. And the dopamine stimulates the pleasure centers of your brain. Remember this. You are going to hear it again. And this is physically the way heroin works, by the way. And did you know that the politics of heroin began in the Banana Wars? General Butler knows about that. In production, 1970s, in the Golden Triangle, Vietnam, that ring a little bell, putting cocaine and heroin in the caskets and coffins of the returning veterans. And what do you think they've been doing in Afghanistan? Why do you think they want our veterans dead so they can't tell you about the drugs we're bringing back from Afghanistan? Uh-oh, did I let that out? Oh, I guess I did. Oh, sorry. Y'all got it now? And the experiment they're doing, experiments on the Iraqi citizens with our super secret type weapons that does things to the body you will not believe. They don't want them troops coming back and talking about it. 26 suicides a day later. Yeah, 8,000 veterans die every year from suicide. Remember that. It's going to connect here in a minute. And remember Chris Kyle? He was shot by a Marine who was helping on the range. Chris Kyle was a Christian. Chris Kyle went over as a patriot. He believed what he was doing. Well, since Vietnam, they changed the playing field. From what we train Marines to kill men to men, CIA, Tavistock, Jesuits are using children as combatants. That presents a problem. A little 3 foot, 4 foot, 10 or 12 year old with a grenade will kill you just as much as a 6 foot, 200 pound Russian soldier or whatever enemy you have, German, he'll kill you just as dead. So what do you do? Well, they knew that would conflict with our training and conflict with what we're taught over here not to kill children and women. But they had to, or you're going to die. In Vietnam, it started. This family was designed, trained, built in to increase the level of post-traumatic stress by killing this conflict. Add to it the drugs, the marijuana and heroin they got in Vietnam. They came back as addicts to target the baby boomers to get rid of you, get rid of us. Tavistock family behind this. Now, you remember everything I've said now to this hour, because you're going to hear it again, but from experts, witnesses. Now, I will tell you this now, too. I'll add to it. In 1972, an experiment was done. In by these rascals from one of them from Harvard. In 1972, there was a document smuggled out of CRIC, out of the federal government. I've got a copy of it. It goes back to 71. It's a 92-page monograph that was entitled Development and Legal Regulation of Coercive Behavior Modification Techniques with Offenders. I've got a copy of it. Now, it was funded by the Department of Health and Education Welfare Department back in the 70s, early 70s, as I said before. This study was a thesis or a social, the thesis of it was that social or cultural or political, quote-unquote, rehabilitation began inside the nervous system of the citizen in 1971. Actually, studies go back to 1966, 67. But this one was done by Dr. Ralph and Robert Schwitzbell. Professor Ralph Schwitzbell of Harvard University, a card-carrying, Tavistock-wearing college, funded by Rockefellers. Now, what this thesis was, and then what they did to felons, homosexuals, study group, was a miniaturized radio transmitter implanted inside the brain or the body, would monitor and transmit conversations, locations, and even a sexual response of the subject 24 hours per day. And this report explains that sewed up inside the subject's body, along with a small, tiny transponder, was a radio-controlled electrical shock device inside the body. The device would deliver punishment to the offender anywhere in the world in 1972. Now, who are the offenders in this thing? Well, when I read it, the author of it, Professor Ralph K. Schwitzbell, dwelled on homosexuals at the beginning of it. But when you read it later, it talks about the offender's financial matters. Oh, that got my attention. And disputes over financial obligations. And anonymously, socially troublesome persons. Huh. That fills the whole gamut, don't it? The paper then predicts micro-miniaturization. Today, what do you got? Nanobot technology that can go in vaccines. That's right. Remember what I'm telling you. What that does, it permits near-permanent intracranial stimulation. You know, there's a National Security Agency, NSA, computer specialist then that proposed attaching miniature electronic tracking devices to 20 million Americans. It transmit in the 70s the wearer's location by radio to a computer and could be used for arrest following riots or confrontations, monitoring aliens and political subgroups. It's called behavior engineering. Now, a little bit before that, you had at Yale, another Tavistock college, Dr. Jose Delgado implanted radio transceivers in the heads of experimental animal subjects. Brian Ingraham, Barton Ingraham, Berkeley School of Criminology, electrophysiology, surveillance using electronic device. Electronic impulses injected into the brain could induce, inhibit, or modify phenomena, movement, desire, rage, aggression, fear, pain, pleasure. Family, this is 1970. This is almost 40 years ago. All right. Now, all that being said, now I'm sure your mind's spinning right now, if you're stuck with me. Let's go to the first one. Now, some of y'all heard this before, but now I kind of put a different slant to it. Here we go.
Brain-machine interfaces, a technology that marks the beginnings of a new kind of man, the cyborg, the robot man. Neuro-robotic technology can be applied in different directions. The brain controlling the machine or, inversely, the machine controlling the brain.
Remember dopamine. mean for me?
We're just going to go through each one of these arms. 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's talking about a mouse.
5.
Mice
6.
Being used as test subjects.
All of those. And how this works.
But a third option is also possible. One brain controlling another brain via the interface. How does this work in the case of the robot rat? All you need, in fact, are 3 well-positioned electrodes. Two electrodes in the cerebral cortex of the rat send stimuli to the zones connected to its whiskers. When the rat follows the signal sent to its left side and turns in that direction, it is rewarded with a discharge into its pleasure zone. This discharge produces a flow of dopamine, providing instant pleasure. This zone is also called the brain's reward center. We possess a reward center too, just like the rat. In the process of creating a cyborg, this is square one. If we send a stimulus to the zone related to the hand, we create a sensation in that area. In the same way, via the motor cortex, we can provoke an involuntary movement. In Boston, the first machine-brain interface trials have already been conducted on paraplegic patients. Thanks to an electrode chip called the brain gate, they can operate a computer remotely by thought. So it's no coincidence that these researches are partly funded by DARPA, the U.S.'s Defense Research Agency. Neuroscience will bring us the soldier of the future.
This is a new deal, gentlemen.
Enemy center of gravity is downtown.
Just get a good view from here.
A remote-controlled soldier? A soldier who, in the midst of a battle, can be sent crucial data and information downloaded into his brain? A soldier who can control his fears?
This is real. Now listen to the words.
Dude, look at me. People all.
Dude, those two people.
You see who pulled up in the white car?
I
shot that dude in the white car, ran in.
Oh yes, you're gonna get it. Yes. Naughty little boys.
Beating up these kids.
Yes. 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 Yes.
We possess a reward center too, just like the rat. If we send a stimulus to the zone related to the hand, we create a sensation in that area. In the same way, via the motor cortex, we can provoke an involuntary movement.
You little f***! Shoot at us! You little f***! Die!
We are going to reach a level of control. The more we learn about the brain, the more researchers discover how little our consciousness and will control our choices and behaviors. Our way of living might be completely transformed by the convergence of neuroscience, genetics, and nanotechnology.
article, March the 3rd, 2015. Quote, article title, new microchip will let Dr. and Mr. Drugs in your body over the phone. Article title, researchers trial microchip that administers drugs. Article title, Belgium votes to legalize euthanasia for children despite protests from 160 doctors. It's being done. It's going to be done in Oregon. Y'all doing anything about it? Y'all don't care whether they kill your children using the UN, International Rights of the Child Treaty? Nobody cares about that? Somebody better care, because they're going to come after your kids. How come we're not all focused on Oregon and destroy their legislation? Just bury it. You better get to moving if you're going to do it. Title. Article. Microchip implant gives medication on command. These are current articles, family. Current articles. Creeping up. Okay, now, this next evidence I'm going to give you is a little bit long, and be patient. But it's got a lot of information to it. And it's like 15 minutes long, but listen carefully to Anthony Sutton as he's interviewed by Prophet. Not a prophet, but the last name is Prophet. And he'll tell you exactly. And this is back in the 1980s. Here we go. Professor Anthony Sutton on psychotronic weapons.
What I'd like to do is to get on with a subject that you've been most involved in since you've done all these things that we've been discussing, and that is psychotronics. I'd like to show you a video clip on Soviet psychotronics and ask for your comment, and we'll take off into that area.
Okay. But in the Soviet Union, a radio frequency, or RF device, has been used for over 30 years to manipulate the moods of mental patients. It's called a LIDA machine. It radiates pulses of radio frequency energy, as well as light, sound, and heat. The pulse rate is in the extremely low frequency range, between 0 and 100 pulses per second. Dr. Ross Ady is the top researcher at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Loma Linda, California. He has been investigating the effects of the LIDA machine.
Now, what do the Soviets use this machine for? Well, they don't use it anymore. We should be very clear that this is a machine which is regarded by them as somewhat obsolete technologically.
This scientist, who did not want his identity revealed, is employed by the U.S. government and has done secret RF weapons research. He believes that tests done with the LIDA and similar machines prove that humans are susceptible to remote alterations of mood and awareness.
Certain kinds of weak electromagnetic signals work exactly like drugs. And so the promise is that anything you can do with drugs, you could do with the right electromagnetic signals. Apparently, there are specific sites involved, specific functions involved. It's a matter of matching up, just like it is with a pill or a drug, to cause and effect. You could have a cause and effect relationship between a magnetic field and a biological function.
This sound, which is received by shortwave radios in the United States, is generated by another Soviet radio frequency device. It is known as the woodpecker because of its tapping noise. It is broadcast by a number of high-powered radio transmitters operating deep in the Soviet Union since July 4, 1976. Though the official Defense Department explanation of the woodpecker is that it is an over-the-horizon radar designed to track U.S. missile launches, some scientists suspect that the woodpecker is designed to interfere with human brain function.
As far as I'm concerned, the potential that this has for producing a direct psychoactive effect upon the pro-American population is there, has never been disproven.
Dr. Robert Becker is a pioneer in the field of bioeffects of electromagnetism.
The signal range within which the woodpecker operates is that which has been reported by many investigators to produce a tranquilizing effect upon animals.
We are just incredibly sensitive to these magnetic stimuli.
Dr. Bob Beck, a PhD in nuclear engineering, has done extensive research into electromagnetic effects on humans.
The signal is permeating power grids in the United States. It was being picked up by power lines, re-radiated. It was coming into the homes on the light circuits.
Well, it was a little unclear, but I knew two of the gentlemen on there, Bob Beck, and I think Becker was the other one. And basically, of course, they're talking about psychotronics. If I can translate in my words.
This is F.D. Sutton. F.D. Sutton.
Is the, let me pick these words very carefully, is the long range modification or manipulation of behavior by electronic, specifically radio means. In other words, you use electromagnetic energy, radio transmissions, to affect human behavior at a distance. In other words, you're doing is that you are merging radio engineering and power psychology. This is what I think the Soviets can do. This is something which we have not in the West looked at too carefully. What I think the Soviets can do, and this I think was the intent of this film clip, let me summarize what they can do and then in more detail about one or two of these facets. One, they can manipulate behavior at a distance. For example, they could create a riot, which you couldn't stop in this auditorium right out of that transmitter. What they would do specifically is that the name of the transmitter is not the one I know. I know it as the Gomel transmitter. He called it the woodpecker signal. But what they do, they broadcast the signal to create a riot. You broadcast 11 hertz, 11 cycles per second, beamed into this room. And it would, without you knowing, you would start to get uncomfortable, then upset, and then I presume start getting a little active, like throwing the plants around or breaking up chairs, things like that. You use specific, what are called radio frequency windows. 11 hertz will create that kind of behavior. Other frequencies, other windows will create other kinds of behavior. You can create a passive behavior. You can make people go to sleep. You can create narcotic effects. It has been used, actually, as an antidote, as a cure for narcotic addiction. You can make people alert. You can make them misconstrue, misunderstand things. Each has a specific, very precise frequency. We know what these frequencies are. We know the behavior modification that can be brought about. We know the Soviets are using it. Let me give you three examples. One, the Moscow Embassy, 1977, the State Department discovered that its employees were being zapped by what they call microwaves, that were really these transmissions, extremely low frequency transmissions. The ambassador, in fact, had heart problems as a result of it. And you can induce medical effects. You can induce heart attacks at a distance with certain frequencies. That's one example we know. The State Department then took the wrong approach. It's put screens on windows, but we know that copper and steel screening will not shield from alpha, extremely low frequency waves. There is another antidote, which we can get into later if you want. One, we know you can modify behavior through beaming radio waves on specific frequencies at a distance. We can do that.
How great a distance?
Well, the transmitter they're using is at Gomel. We know that that was beamed on Eugene, Oregon in the late 70s. They were picking up, I forget the cycles per second, I think it was about 9 hertz. And that was very intense at 2,000 feet. They got public health people picked up a number of I think, 20, 30, 40 cases of disorientation, headaches, nausea, that kind of thing, which you would get from that frequency. A more clear example is not Eugene Oregon, although I'm fairly sure of that case, is the Canadian cases, Kirkland Lake and Timmins, Ontario, both bombarded by the Soviets. In this case, I'm in touch with a Canadian scientist who did the analysis for the Canadian government. There is no question in his mind that the Soviets bombarded Kirkland Lake and Timmins with a frequency which would create disorientation, headaches and nausea, that kind of thing. So the distance, if you can... if you can get a radio wave in there, you can get this effect in there. It's so the frequency on which it operates.
The purpose of this was an experiment to
Elizabeth
prove what
Prophet
do
talking.
And what they could do in wartime.
Elizabeth
I think
Clare
in the
Prophet.
Early 70s, this was experimentation. I think what they're doing today is not experimentation. If you look at the State Department, which as I see it, has not made one decision in our favor. Every decision is against us. If you look what happened in the Moscow embassy, if you get Schultz saying that counterintelligence is not productive, you know, these ridiculous statements, you begin to think that, okay, you can bring this about through psychoactive warfare, psychoactive manipulation using ELF waves, extremely low frequency waves. And that's what Robert Beck and the other gentleman were saying.
Do the Soviets select certain individuals in the United States, or do they take a picture of them and put it in a machine in the Soviet
that's a different
Union?
Field.
Or what do they do?
There's several different things here. Firstly, I cannot prove that the Soviets have done this, but what I do know is that the West Germans issued their diplomats with protective devices about 10 years ago. In fact, I have the circuit diagrams of these protective devices. The West Germans have recognized the problem. They have taken moves against it. The State Department in 78 was not recognizing the problem. I don't know if they've taken any moves against it. It looks as if they have not.
Now, moving into part two, Anthony Sutton. We're about to finish with this.
Now, this is where I am very, very disturbed, because in the West, we don't think in terms of warfare, certainly not to achieve objectives. Well, at least most of us don't, except the elite. And I'm concerned that while the elite is out to control the world, the Russian, given the Russian mind and the technology we've given them, is going to use this technology back against us in forms which we don't accept. And there's no question that our establishment engineers haven't until recently accepted behavioral modification through radio engineering. Now, both these gentlemen you noticed on here, they can talk because they're outside the establishment. They do not work for the government. In fact, I just had a letter from one of them. And this is the consensus among these people that this can be done, and secondly, it is being done. Now, there are other things that, in addition to behavioral manipulation, they're a little harder to pinpoint. I rather suspect that the Soviets can identify objects at a distance, say through radar. They can estimate the shape, the size, and the composition. In other words, one can analyze the return spectrum and analyze that and find the composition of what they're looking at. So theoretically, you could put a beam into, say, this top secret installation inside it, and you could get a picture back very roughly giving the shape, the size, and the composition of the article that was the other end of that beam. They can use it, I suspect, for telepathy. Telepathy for a long time has been a random sort of phenomenon. I think probably you could use radio waves as a carrier for telepathy, perhaps even for psychokinesis too.
Well, telepathy can be mind manipulation if someone doesn't recognize it as an exterior communication.
So that basically is what psychokinesis is. Then the one you mentioned about the putting the picture in the well, the number of end uses for that, I don't know which one you had in mind, but for example, it could be used for finding people. tracing people. You could put a picture of a person within this machine and through a map have it trace out the coordinates where the person is. I heard it was used in one case, the U.S. Navy. Now, I cannot verify this. It's only what it's just hearsay, that the U.S. Navy did experiment with this kind of operation by getting the signatures of Soviet submarine commanders and using this process for identifying the location of this particular submarine.
Now, that's a fantastic achievement by a signature. You can't hide anything on this earth, not even a symbol. Now, do you think the Soviets are targeting certain segments of our population that are the leadership, the Congress, the military, or do you think that over the pole are coming ELF waves that are affecting the entire population, beaming these between 3 and 4 a.m. in the morning and so forth?
Well, if you look at Washington, you know, you go into Washington, it's like a world apart. And you go through all, like we did earlier, do we explain these things by stupidity, by ignorance? And you're almost left up by default with this behavioristic manipulation. It's the only one that really fits. I mean, these people are so out of touch with reality, as I see it, and as you see it, that this really becomes the only explanation that will hold water.
Well, when you have a few people that are not in any way influenced by it and take their stand for reality, for truth, for common sense, do these people have a natural repellent of these kind of energy waves? Is it the strength of God within them, or what is it that keeps some people totally clear in their thinking?
I think there's got to be an inner force, a spiritual power, which enables us, perhaps gives us an inner strength to see truth, to see things as they really are. And
very important.
These people, as you mentioned, don't have this inner strength, this inner power, this inner reflection of God.
And when you look at the people who are receptive and who tout this line, they seem to have had the capacity for vulnerability to this before they came under that attack. Like Schultz, for instance.
A vulnerability.
Like Schultz. I mean, you could say he's a victim of ELF waves, but Schultz was Schultz before he was a victim of ELF waves, is what I'm saying.
Yes, it's whether the Soviets manipulated his psychological weaknesses or the ELF waves brought them about. But the kind of person you get in Washington, a person who searches for power, you can guarantee that 95% of the people in Washington have got this lack of inner strength, as you mentioned earlier.
You know, it's been observed by top people in Washington that the attrition rate on the part of people visiting the Soviet Union and then coming back and being soft on communism is amazing. In fact, they can go to the Soviet Union and be totally turned around in their views and become pro-Soviet. Do you think that, therefore, there is a greater effect of this mind manipulation in Soviet territory at close range?
You're getting this with the businessmen. These top businessmen go to the Soviet Union and they come back. Dwayne Andrews is a very good example. He's chairman of Archer Daniels Midland. They come back from the Soviet Union and they may as well be reading a translation of Parker when they come back. It's the straight party line, right the way down. Now, they weren't always like that. But you do get this phenomenon, not so much with diplomats, but you certainly get it with businessmen. They go there, they're wined and dined. I suspect they get this psychological manipulation. And they come back. And then they parrot the party line. When you challenge them, they become confused and hostile.
That's a real telltale sign, isn't it?
Real telltale sign.
The hostility is a front because there's no reason behind it. It's a bluster.
It's a bluster. And I've seen that firsthand. They become very antagonistic.
I've seen it too.
Yes. Which is weakness. There's nothing behind it. They're confused themselves why they're saying this and why.
Okay, now that was a little long, but that set up the next one I'm going to give you. Dr. Ranu Lina Lukanen Kildi talks about mind control. Now, you haven't heard her before.
Dr.
And here we go.
Dr. Ranu Lina Lukanen Kildi. Hello, Dr. Keelden. Welcome to the Veritas Show. How are you?
Now, what she talks about, I'm going to fast forward to the most important parts of it to substantiate what I've been saying. And we'll get in the middle of it. She's very revealing about what she talks about. Here we go.
Serving his fifth 5-year term, but he wanted 2 more years. And then a Japanese candidate came up.
At the WHO elections.
The 5-year term.
The determination
so
of
they
policy.
Were, those two were against each other. And what happened with the voting? Before the voting, the Japanese went around and offered, and this is from diplomatic circles, because my husband was a UN diplomat, and they talk, as you know, with each other.
Sure.
So the especially third world countries and their ambassadors, representatives to WHO, were offered a Japanese new car. Everybody gets a Japanese new car if you vote for the Japanese, and the Japanese candidate won. So, you know, I don't have big respect for the things they do, but I understand now that they are under New World Order control, and they get an order, and they have to obey. And that is very, very sad, that some people from outside can steer big, big organizations who originally were created to be very good and think of the health of the whole planet and all the people.
WHO, the first director, was Brock Chisholm. Aha, 1948 to 1953. Now you got an idea? Here we go.
And of course, no pun intended, but Big Pharma wants a big financial shot in the arm. They're behind this, I presume.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a billion-dollar business, of course. Of course.
Now, espionage and assassinations against your will are the two primordial purposes of mind control. Do you think presidential assassination, let's say President John F. Kennedy, his brother, the Pope, President Reagan, to name a few, were these assassins victims of mind control?
I would think so. At least Sirhan was, I've read a lot of papers about him and his programming.
Yes.
And it was interesting that he said after he had fired, he said, "Did I do it?"
Didn't remember.
So it was clear to me after reading what had happened that he was totally mind controlled. And then when he was also killed, not to be able to talk. So, that shows something.
And that usually happens.
It's very sad. It's the same thing that happens with the school shootings and the big store shootings when somebody, a young man, usually just starts killing everybody who happens to be around and then kills himself. Now, in my mind, they are all mind control victims, those who shoot. And, of course, their victims are also victims. And they always pick out young men who maybe have psychological problems before, and then they start beaming the frequency of hate. And when the frequency of hate is beamed at you for months or a couple of years even, there's nothing you can resist. You have to be a robot, and you have to kill. And when you kill yourself, then they can't, ask questions about you. That's the Delta programming in the whole thing. It's very sad. It's very sad.
I want to speak of Project Delta in a few minutes, but I wanted to ask you, mind control is used to manipulate the opinions of individuals, but can it also be accomplished in a mass scale, and if so, how?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's just a frequency that they send. Now, in the last, I would say, around 20 years, at least in Europe, I don't know in the States so much, but at least in Europe, they have changed the street lamps all over. They have changed them in old people's homes, at the yards. They have changed them at schoolyards. They have changed them at daycare centers for children. And they are able to send remotely different frequencies. And if people would just look at the lamps, they would start thinking, why do they look? They look different. And they are different than before. So they send a different frequency, and all those people who are around that area are affected. And the worst thing is, of course, they can do it through satellites, and there's nothing you can do to sort of protect yourself against satellites, right? How could we do that? In no way a normal person or a group of persons.
I I have and will do shows on electronics, chemtrails. We'll do one on HARP, chemicals. But I haven't heard one person put all these together, chemtrails, HARP, chemicals, to produce mind control. How do these work together? This is basically psychological warfare, isn't it?
Of course it is. And we have chemtrails here in Norway very, very often. Chemtrails, of course, are often put into military planes or even passenger planes. I've seen a Lufthansa plane, a picture, which was distributing the white strips, which is in powder form. They have titanium, aluminium, magnesium, etc. in this powder form. And since it's metal originally in powder, we breathe it in, and that way we can also be microchipped.
Oh, you're talking about chemtrails.
Chemtrails, yeah.
Yes.
Chemtrails from the skies.
Operation Cloverleaf.
When you're microchipped, then you are mind controlled.
Right.
So chemical trails can be adding to the mind control of the general population without their knowledge at all. And then that's one of the reasons why diseases like bronchitis, asthma, etc. have really increased, because you breathe it in. And people have no idea. Sometimes they look, oh, aren't they nice figures there, a figure eight or something. And when I asked an expert, why are they always often in an X form, which they put the white strips in? So the answer was that so we can, through satellite pictures, see which areas are contaminated. So there's really a plan there.
Last week we had a show on chemtrails. We had somebody who really got into the what, who, when, etc. of the chemtrails. And I mentioned to him that a lot of people these days, you can find them in a comatose, an indifferent way, where they're driving, they feel that their mind is foggy, not as before. You know, a lot of multiple sclerosis, a lot of Alzheimer's, dementia, and right. Aluminum causes all that, right?
Yeah, right. Correct. It's done deliberately to destroy the population of the world, to get more money for Big Pharma, because when you're sick, of course, you need medicines and you need doctors, and so Big Pharma gets the money.
Right.
And then, of course, when it gets bad enough, you die. So the whole plan is to diminish the population with chemical means like chemtrails, with electronic means, electromagnetic weapons, non-lethal weapons, and then psychological warfare, which causes stress and ill feelings to people, so that they get stressed and then they get tired and maybe commit suicide or whatever. It's a plan of the devils, I think. And people don't know about it. They just suffer and die. And they should know about it.
As Henry Kissinger says, we're just simply useless eaters or useless containers.
Exactly. Yeah, we're cattle.
The powers that be sometimes don't lie about the fact they are using mind control during conflict areas, wars, and call it non-lethal weapons. But are they really non-lethal?
No, they're lethal. But they can be used as non-lethal. You know, tasers like that, when they can shoot at you, or pepper sprays and things like that, and you stop your attack, or there's a crowd dispersing or something like that. But then if you put the hard frequency on, then of course they're lethal. That's what happened according to the non-lethal weapons conference in New York once, when they were shooting at with a taser at some, I think he was a man who was kind of a clochard sleeping out. And the dose was too high and he died. But then according to this this lecture, the policeman who was in charge of this took it so hardly that in 2 weeks he committed suicide himself. So they are lethal weapons.
If you have a lifetime friend who you trust with your life, perhaps a loved one, can that person be mind controlled to turn against you?
Absolutely. And that's exactly what they use. They use the person who you trust. Your best friend is always in the list for recruitment. It can be your wife, your husband, your child, whoever. Just like in the Manchurian Candidate, Meryl Streep was the mother of the young man whom she wanted to be president of the U.S. So
yes.
So she, you know, so it was the mother programming. It's always somebody close to you, from your family or your best friend. And that's the devilish plan, because people can't believe that somebody who's been your best friend for years and decades could turn against you. But that's exactly how they do. And, of course, that person is also mind-controlled to turn against you. So they're both biological robots at the end.
And when you say recruited, does that mean involuntarily or voluntarily?
Both. I think the worst is if you don't know that you're microchipped and then you are steered. If you do know, then at least you can try to resist. Always when you get a thought, hey, I'll go there or do something, so stop. Hey, is it my thought or induced?
Right.
But if you don't know that you're microchipped, and that can happen with a handshake today because it's only 2 micromillimeters when hair diameter is 50. So once you get it into your body, that's it for life. It stays there and you're steered. And there's nothing you can do. You can't even operate it out anymore, because in the 60s and 70s they were size of a rice of grain, a little thing, maybe one centimeter. But now, since they're 2 micromillimeter, so you can never get it out.
It's nanotechnology.
Exactly. That's what it is. And to prove that you have it, if you want to, you can take an MRI X-ray, and that gives a signal. It gives a signal. I know a Swedish man who was implanted by the police when he was arrested for something. He was implanted in the prison, and his head, when you have a device that can get the signal, his head really squeaks. And then he had this implant removed, but it was sent to the New York and, of course, disappeared. Nowadays, you can't remove them anymore because they're so small.
So let's say that you go and have an MRI, and this is nanotechnology. First of all, would it detect it? And second, if they do, if it's so small, how would they even remove it? It could be attached to any part of your body, right?
Yeah, they cannot move it anymore. It's only that they can give a signal which shows that they have it.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't take it away, and it's too small, and it can just, in an X-ray, look like a little dot.
Right.
You can't remove it. But it gives this squeaking signal. So that's proof that, hey, you have something there.
So
the interviews by Veritas from YouTube, you can find it. Interviews by Veritas. Continuing.
For somebody who was involuntarily microchipped with a, let's call it, nanotechnology microchip, is there a way to deactivate it, or do they have to live with it forever?
I think you have to live forever, because maybe military has some tools, but the civilians don't. Like,
of course.
Like I said, academic research is 50 years behind. But usually when military develops a weapon, and this is a weapon, according to the British Medical Journal, already it was in July, 12th of July 1997, there was an article where they warned doctors not to go along with the weapon industry, which meant microchipping of patients.
Mm-hmm.
So those who work for the military and have developed this, of course, they also always try to counteract. So they may have their possibilities of diminishing the effects. But civilian academic population, no. And research, no. Not today.
A quick detour to stop at the swine flu again. Do you think is this a possibility? That if what they're trying to do is to use compulsory vaccinations on the population, do you believe this could be also because they want to microchip and use and leverage that opportunity to do it now, since they have the opportunity and creating a false pandemic?
Yes, I agree. I have thought about that from the first moment, because that would be a perfect way of microchipping, putting a little microchip into the vaccine. Now, they will, of course, not reveal it, but
exactly.
That's what the U.S. military was doing already in Vietnam War and first Iraqi War. They microchipped with vaccinations all their soldiers. And like Timothy McVeigh, who was then accused with the murder of Oklahoma bombings, etc.,
yes,
mentioned that he was microchipped with the vaccine and his buttocks.
Exactly.
So, and then, of course, FBI, who probably was behind the whole thing, well, just washed their hands. And then they always take somebody who is a victim who is going to be the person whom they accuse of being the criminal. That's just the way they always operate. And like if you think of September 11th,
yes.
Well, the same thing happened in London. You know, when they had the metro explosion, they used the same scheme. In September 11th, I read that Dick Cheney was conducting a military exercise, and in the military exercise at the same time that the real plane, if there was a plane or if it was just a
remote controlled
screen, something anyway, so people didn't know if this was an exercise or was it a real thing. And so same thing was in London Metro. Scotland Yard was putting out an exercise about explosion in the Metro, and at the same time there was an explosion in the Metro. So they always use it, like, you know, Pearl Harbor, the same kind of some scheme. Since it works, they use it for years and years and years and years. And I think most people now already know that September 11th was an inside job, and even an ex-Italian president mentioned
Berlusconi.
That it was CIA,
yes,
and Mossad who was behind it. That's pretty much said of a president of another country. But it was interesting that just a few days ago I read that Obama's advisor was kicked out of the White House because he was a truther. Yes, he had signed an appeal or something that it was an inside job.
You see, just speaking about that person who resigned a few days ago,
yeah,
I can understand how he offended some people with what he said. However, I don't have a problem with the fact that he was a 9/11 truther. It's just that the powers that be don't want anybody close to the president questioning 9/11, period.
Yeah, probably. Probably, but normal people who are not close to White House, they think differently.
Of course. You and I do, at least. And former Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. A lot of people don't know this, but he was in London the morning of, July 11th, when the metro bombings happened. He was there.
I think it was the 7th of July.
The 7th of July, correct. He was there in London participating on the drills.
Right. well, of course, U.S. and U.K. are always working together.
Yes. Now, I hear you say the CIA and the Navy are involved with mind control programs. Why is it that we continue to hear the Navy so involved with so many things, UFOs, etc.? What is so special about the Navy?
Okay, you're about a minute. The TalkStream Live is going to shut down my program every time 3 minutes before the top of the hour. I'll continue on with this for another 5 more minutes. And then we'll continue this tomorrow when I close down. Reminds you, too, that this woman died on February 11th, 2015. By the way. Continuing.
Now, I think you as an American could answer that. Me as a Finn living in Norway and being a lady and not a career military, I don't know. But in Norway, already in the 50s and 60s, the U.S. Navy was using Norwegians as guinea pigs because they were finding oil underneath the sea, and they were being put electrodes into their brain and into their head when they were down there to, of course, to record them and what was happening. And unfortunately, they got very, very ill, many of them, and they have had court cases now, and 18 of them, I think, have committed suicide, etc. And this was done, among others, by U.S. Navy support and money, and even U.S. Air Force and NASA, etc.
Okay. Family, there's 7,800 veterans suing the CIA and DOD for septal implants since 2010. 26 suicides per day. Any questions as to where it's coming from? I think I've made my case today, but I'm not done. Tomorrow I'll continue on. Remind you that my broadcast and Bible studies, which I have a Bible study tonight, 8 to 10. Oh, 8 to 9, sorry. 8 to 9 tonight on the website, watchmenforjesus.com. Also, remind you that my broadcast is played up there, highpointradio.net, highpointradio.net. Also plays my broadcast and Bible studies, John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, highpointradio.net. He has sponsors there, and you can find them in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Sponsors are on his website, and you can use them if you'd like. My Facebook is Watchman for Jesus, and my website is, as I said before, watchmanforjesus.com. So we covered a lot of ground today, so we're going to cover a whole lot more tomorrow. I'm just going to continue on, and if I got to, till Friday, and we'll just keep on moving. I do remind you that this lady talking, Dr. Ranu Leah Kurin Kilde, I'm told died February 11th, 2015. You see. And one of the definitions of nihilists in William G. Carr's book, Red Fog Over America, talking about nihilists, going back to 1955 even, those are the following. Nihilist, as he talks about in his book, a definition of a nihilist. Executioners, used by all conspirators who aspire to control a world dictatorship. History reveals that these assassins are to be found in all classes of society, and they try, if possible, to make the murders they commit look like accidents, suicides, or natural death. Red Fog Over America, William G. Carr, first edition, 1955. And I've got a copy of it. Family, tomorrow I'll just continue on. And it'll just be just part four or something. Well, family, thank you all for coming by. And family, I'm showing you their power, but they've lost it through Jesus Christ. And even this doctor here, she talks about the supernatural herself. So not just me. This is not a religious program. This is a realistic program on what's really going on. We're putting it together, connecting the dots. And I got to connect my dot out of here. So y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. This is your watchman, Thomas Campbell. I'm signing out. See you tonight, 8 o'clock, if you're Bible study. Otherwise, tomorrow, 4 o'clock to 6, continuation. Have a good night. God bless. Signing off.
Sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted in peace.